Quiero abrazar, beba.
Ah.
No,
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lynn, Dan Friedel, and John Russell. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lynn.
In a yearly American tradition, a famous groundhog has predicted there will be 6 more weeks of winter. The animal, named Punxsutawney Phil, climbed out of his hole Tuesday morning in the town of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. A ceremony takes place each February 2nd to mark the tradition, which is known as Groundhog Day. If the groundhog can see his shadow, the tradition says, there will be 6 more weeks of winter. If the animal's shadow cannot be seen, Americans can expect an early spring. A group of people from the local community lead the ceremony. They are known as Punxsutawney Phil's Inner Circle. Members of the group said they woke the furry creature up at 7:25 a.m. Shortly after this year's prediction became clear, one member of the Inner Circle shared a message to the public he said Phil had expressed earlier in the day. The message stated that after the longer expected winter, you can look forward to one of the most beautiful and brightest springs you've ever seen. Another member spoke about the unusual nature of the past year. He noted that people have been talking about life being similar to the subject of the 1993 film Groundhog Day. In the movie, a reporter visits Punxsutawney to cover the event, but becomes stuck in time. He then has to repeat the same day over and over again until he becomes a better person. It has felt like at times we're all living the same day over and over again, the member said. However, Groundhog Day also shows us that the monotony ends, the cycle will be broken. He added that there would only be one Groundhog Day this year, and that a new day is coming over the horizon. The event, however, looked very different this year because of the coronavirus pandemic. While in the past, thousands of people have traveled to Punxsutawney for the event, no crowds were permitted this year. The ceremony was held virtually. A live broadcast of the activities, which at times had up to 15,000 watchers, played videos from past Groundhog Day celebrations ahead of this year's prediction. When Punxsutawney Phil appeared, the president of the Inner Circle, Jeff Lundy, declared, "You look beautiful." Another member then announced, "We have all passed through the darkness of night, but now see hope in the morning's bright light. But now, when I turn to see, there's a perfect shadow cast of me." This year's prediction, like many years in the past, came as a major snowstorm hit the U.S. Northeast. I'm Brian Lynn.
The coronavirus worldwide health crisis forced the postponement of the 2020 Tokyo Summer Olympics to this year. It remains unclear if the Games will take place as planned in July 2021. Athletes around the world who hope to qualify for the Olympics are still trying to stay fit. That includes a group of four runners from the world's youngest country, South Sudan. They're training with one of their coaches in Japan. The runners are working out in Meibashi, a city about 100 kilometers from Tokyo. Many athletes who are among the best in the world at their events were sad when the virus caused the Olympics to be postponed. But the African athletes said they do not mind the delay because they are able to improve. 18-year-old Akun Akun is one of those athletes. He competes in the 400-meter race and the hurdles. He said he is just putting all his attention on his training. "I don't want to confuse my mind," he said. Both the head of the International Olympic Committee and the Prime Minister of Japan, Yoshihide Suga, recently expressed their desire to hold the Games as planned later this year. A Japanese newspaper, however, recently asked athletes what they wanted. Most of the athletes who responded, 86%, said they wanted the Games delayed again or canceled altogether. In Japan, the government recently declared a state of emergency in Tokyo and several other areas. Abraham Majoke competes in the 1500-meter race. The 21-year-old runner said it will be important for people from South Sudan to see athletes from their country at the Olympics. That is because South Sudan is a country that is still healing from a civil war. Images of athletes from South Sudan at the Olympics will help the nation develop a sense of being one group of people. The image of the team here is a big sign of unity because all of us are from different states, said Majoke. When our people back home watch us all from different states working together and representing the country at the world level, the people will be really happy. About 400,000 people died during the war in South Sudan. The warring groups signed a peace treaty in 2018, but many agreements have not yet been put in place. The city of Meibashi is trying to help the South Sudanese runners. Groups have donated about $300,000 to support their training. Other people are spending time helping the runners with life in Japan. The total will be enough to pay for their stay through the completion of the Games, if they happen. I'm Dan Friedel.
The Decatur, Georgia school system, near the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, is in a community full of health professionals. Decatur is a politically liberal area outside Atlanta. Many public health and medical professionals in the community gave suggestions about how schools should operate during the coronavirus crisis. Yet, deep divisions between the parents appeared. The disputes in Decatur demonstrate the issues many American communities have faced while trying to decide what is safe and acceptable for schools in the middle of a health crisis. Parents in the Decatur school system had different ideas about reopening schools. One emergency medicine doctor said early reopening plans for the system's 5,000-plus students were not safe enough. A doctor doing work for the CDC suggested reopenings should be delayed. Others, including a leader of the CDC's COVID-19 vaccine efforts, argued the district could get students back in classrooms safely. They suggested that not returning students risked their development and mental health. David Doody heads the Decatur school system. The challenge for me has been trying to weigh all of these things that I'm being told by experts and non-experts alike to try to make the best decision that we can, he said. And that's what I, and I'm sure other superintendents, have been struggling with. Superintendent is the term used to describe the head of schools in a particular area in the United States. In the school reopening debate, each side argued that data and science supported their view. The debate sometimes became angry and unpleasant. Health officials say there is growing evidence that children are not the main drivers of community spread. Virus spread is fairly low in schools where mask wearing, social distancing, and contact tracing are in effect. The CDC says that for schools to open safely, they and their surrounding communities must take preventive measures. But without clear reopening rules from federal and state leaders, school officials have had to consider the science themselves, Doody said. When Doody released a reopening plan for the fall, some parents and teachers questioned whether it was safe. When he stopped the reopening, other parents got angry, criticizing the quick change. Some suggested online schooling was not something that could work for long. Tiffany Tesfamichael is a single parent who moved to Decatur because of the schools. She was concerned about neighbors who were against opening schools but did not oppose opening businesses. Why aren't they out here with signs protesting restaurants if they really, really mean it? She said. Doody ended up asking a large group of volunteers to make suggestions for reopening schools. He then decided on a new plan for January. The plan called for younger students to attend school for part of the day in small groups. Older students would continue with online learning. Some CDC employees and other health professionals objected to part of the plan. They argued in a letter to a community news website that safe, in-person learning was possible for older students if the right preventive measures were taken. They suggested that decision makers were misreading evidence about virus spread in schools. A hospital doctor treating COVID-19 patients sent her own letter warning that reopening schools as cases increased would be irresponsible. Around Decatur, people tried to avoid the issue in everyday discussions with their neighbors. But the disputes continued during school board meetings and on social media. In a Facebook group for parents, the disagreements got so bad that some users said their social media posts had been shared with their employers by others trying to insult them. Carrie Ludlam is a parent of middle school students in the Decatur school system. She worries about the discussions yet to come. Ludlam said people insulted each other from behind their computers, forgetting that at some point the world is going to get back to normal, she told the Associated Press. And we're going to have to face the things we said to each other and the things we accused each other of, she added. I'm John Russell.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The presidential election of 1928 gave American voters a clear political choice. The Democratic Party nominated Al Smith. He was the popular governor of the state of New York. The Republican Party chose Herbert Hoover. He was an engineer and businessman who served as Secretary of Commerce for Presidents Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge. Rich Kleinfeld and Harry Monroe tell us about the presidential election of 1928.
Governor Alfred Smith of New York had campaigned for the Democratic presidential nomination in 1924. But he was defeated at the party convention by a compromise candidate, John Davis. 4 years later, however, Smith could not be stopped. He had a strong record as governor of the nation's most heavily populated state. He campaigned for the presidency on a policy of building new electric power stations under public control. Smith knew that many conservative Americans might be worried by his new ideas and his belief in strong government. So he chose as his campaign manager a Republican industrial leader who had worked with General Motors, DuPont, and other major companies. Smith hoped this would prove his faith in the American private business system.
Al Smith was a strong political leader and an effective governor, but he frightened many Americans, especially conservative citizens living in rural areas. They lived on farms or in small towns. Al Smith was from the city. And not just from any city, but New York City, a place that seemed big and dirty and filled with foreign people and strange traditions. Al Smith's parents came from Ireland. He grew up in New York and worked as a salesman at the Fulton Fish Market. Smith was an honest man. But many rural Americans simply did not trust people from big cities. Al Smith seemed to them to represent everything that was new, different, and dangerous about American life. But being from New York City was not Al Smith's only problem. He also opposed the new national laws that made it illegal to buy or produce alcoholic drinks. And he had political ties to the New York political machine. But worst of all, in the eyes of many Americans, Al Smith was a Roman Catholic.
From George Washington through Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and up to Calvin Coolidge, every American president had been male, white, and a Protestant Christian. Of course, there was no law requiring a candidate to be Protestant, but millions of traditional Americans just were not ready to give their vote to a Roman Catholic. Opponents of the Smith campaign generally did not speak openly about his religion, but many of them were afraid that Smith would take his orders from the Vatican in Rome, instead of working with the Congress in Washington. Al Smith fought back. He told the country, "I am unable to understand how anything I was taught to believe as a Catholic could possibly be in conflict with what is good citizenship. My faith," he said, "is built upon the laws of God. There can be no conflict between them."
But many Protestant Americans thought there was a conflict, and they looked to the Republican Party to supply a strong candidate to oppose Smith and the Democrats. The Republicans did just that. They nominated former Secretary of Commerce Herbert Hoover, one of the country's most popular men. Hoover was well known to Americans. People trusted him, and they liked the way he had gained great personal success from poor beginnings. In fact, Hoover's life story would have pleased Abraham Lincoln, another American who rose from a poor family to fame. Hoover was born in the farm state of Iowa in 1874. His father was a poor metal worker who kept moving his family from state to state. Herbert Hoover's father died when the boy was just 6 years old. His mother died 4 years later. Young Herbert had to move to the western state of Oregon to live with his mother's brother. Herbert's uncle was luckier in life than Herbert's parents. He had made money in the land business, and he helped the boy gain admission to Stanford University in California. At the university, Herbert showed great skill in mathematics, and he decided to go into business as a geologist, studying the science of the earth.
After college, Herbert Hoover got a job as a mine worker. During the next several years, Hoover spent most of his time working as an engineer in foreign countries. And he succeeded beyond his greatest dreams. By the time he was 40 years old, he had earned more than $1 million. After World War I, he organized the effort to provide food for starving people in Europe. He did an excellent job, winning praise from people in Europe and the United States alike. Next, Hoover joined the administration of President Warren Harding, serving as the Secretary of Commerce. Again, he did a very good job. Hoover left the cabinet in 1925. But 2 years later, he organized efforts to provide relief for victims of a flood in the southern state of Mississippi. And again, Americans all around the country took note of this quiet, serious man who did such effective work in so many different kinds of situations. Some Americans, however, did not like Hoover, including some people who usually supported Republicans. For example, many professional Republican politicians did not trust him because he had spent most of his life in business, not politics. Some stock market traders thought Hoover might change the rules on the New York Stock Exchange. And many farmers believed Hoover had no new ideas about how to solve their growing economic problems.
This, then, was the choice Americans faced in 1928. On the one hand, Al Smith, a Democrat, a Roman Catholic, a politician from the city, a man wanting some social change. And on the other hand, Herbert Hoover, a Republican, a businessman who had proven the dream that even a poor boy could become great in America, a man who seemed to succeed with every effort he touched. The main issue in the campaign was not economics or religion, but the new national laws banning alcoholic drinks. Hoover was for the laws, Smith against them. The two candidates also argued about how to provide aid to struggling farmers and how to increase electricity and water supplies.
Herbert Hoover won the election of 1928. It was one of the greatest victories in presidential history. Hoover won 58% of the votes. Smith got just 40%. And Hoover captured 444 electoral votes to Smith's 87. And so it was that the engineer and businessman, Herbert Hoover, entered the White House in 1929. There was some trouble the day he moved in. Outgoing President Coolidge was a man who watched every dollar he owned. And he accused some White House workers of stealing his shoes on the day of the inauguration. But finally, safe, conservative, businesslike Herbert Hoover was leading the country.
The nation's stock market reacted by pushing stock prices to record high levels. Everyone expected that economic growth would continue and expand. But the happy times were just a dream. Within 1 year, the stock market collapsed. Millions of people lost their jobs. The nation fell into the worst economic crisis it had ever faced. Herbert Hoover was not personally responsible for the crisis. In many ways, it was his own bad luck to be elected just before the disaster struck. But it was his job to guide the nation through its troubled waters. And he would prove to be the wrong person to give such leadership. His 4 years in office would be one of the most difficult periods in the nation's history.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
This is VOA News. Reporting by remote, I'm David Burke. The head of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is asking Americans to watch this week's Super Bowl football championship game only with their households to avoid spreading the coronavirus. Speaking in a virtual news conference, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky said new variants of the virus threaten recent gains against COVID-19.
Not wearing masks and participating in in-person social gatherings have contributed to the variant spread. We must take prevention interventions seriously. Now is not the time to let our guard down.
Walensky said that infection levels are back to pre-Thanksgiving numbers, and the daily death total is expected to follow the decrease in infections. A United Nations-backed program to deploy COVID-19 vaccines to the neediest people worldwide on Wednesday announced plans for an initial distribution of more than 100 million doses by the end of the first quarter and more than 200 million more by the end of June. Frederick Christiansen is the deputy CEO of the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations.
With these allocations announced today, we are on the path to really start balancing out a global map, which so far has shown, you know, how many lower income countries are yet to start vaccinating a single person, while other wealthier countries plow ahead towards mass vaccination.
The Vaccine Alliance, which is leading the COVAX program along with CEPI and the WHO, says the Pfizer-BioNTech rollout through the program is expected in the first quarter of this year. AstraZeneca's rollout will come in the first half of the year. You can find more on our website, voanews.com. This is VOA News. Residents in Myanmar's largest city have held a noise protest for a second night in opposition to Monday's military coup. AP's Charles de Ledesma reports.
Banging pots and pans together, smashing food tins with sticks and clapping loudly. Residents kept up a sustained cacophony as they stood on balconies of downtown apartment blocks or in the street with passing cars, joining in with blaring horns. In a country where the military has a record of dealing brutally with protests, the tactic means they can make their feelings known with little physical risk. Monday's coup came as lawmakers had gathered in the capital for the opening of a new parliamentary session. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The United Nations highest court ruled on Wednesday that it can hear a case brought by Iran against the United States in a bid to end sanctions the Trump administration reimposed in 2018. Lawyers for the United States argued at hearings last year that the case should be thrown out by the International Court of Justice for lack of jurisdiction and admissibility. However, the court's president, Abdul Qawi Ahmed Youssef, said that the judges rejected the U.S. arguments. Now that the court has ruled it can hear the case, it will likely take years to reach a conclusion. Rulings by the World Court, which settles disputes between nations, are final and legally binding. Former European Central Bank chief Mario Draghi agreed Wednesday to try to form a new government to see Italy through the devastating coronavirus pandemic after the previous coalition collapsed. After being formally tasked by President Sergio Mattarella, Draghi urged Italy's splintered and squabbling political parties to get behind him at this difficult moment. Italy has been without a fully functioning government for weeks after Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte's outgoing coalition collapsed in a dispute over the handling of the coronavirus pandemic. A film about a film writer and a TV show about British royalty lead the nominations for the Golden Globe Awards. AP's Margie Zaraletta has more.
Watch those stairs. They're treacherous.
Every moment of my life is treacherous.
The Netflix movie Mank leads the film nominees for the Golden Globes with six, including Best Drama Film. The Crown leads the TV categories, also with six. Other multiple nominees include The Trial of the Chicago Seven, Ozark, and Nomadland. The Golden Globes will be delayed 2 months because of the pandemic, but they will still be the first major Hollywood award show. They will be staged February 28th, with Tina Fey hosting from New York and Amy Poehler in Los Angeles. I'm Margie Zaraletta.
Reporting by remote, I'm David Byrd, VOA News.
Ooh, yeah, mama, 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 yeah. Southern Africa, welcome to your super show, The African Beat on the Voice of America. From our studio here in Washington, D.C., I am David Vandy. Hot, rocking, and beautiful sounds as usual coming from across the African continent as we make our first stop Nigeria with Tosin. This guy is a professional drummer based in Maryland, USA. This is I Will Be There For You. This is good. And right after that, I Wanna Be Your Man by Sierra Leonean-born Marcelino based in Canada. And right after that, Africa by Sini featuring Fireman from Rwanda. Well, let's start off with Nigerian-born Tosin right now in I Will Be There For You.
Together,
don't run away from me.
Wait, 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 wait. tell you, settle down, you face in front. That in the pen, we get up and run. Chase every man up and down the con. Girl, I think it's time you better settle down.
Girl, friend,
I wanna be your man.
Sick and tired of playing the rock boyfriend and the man.
Cause you think I cannot spend?
Between the needle of love, you come chasing me again.
Girl, friend,
I wanna be your man.
Sick and tired of playing the rock boyfriend and the man.
Cause you think I cannot spend?
Between the needle of love, you come chasing me again.
Pause before you take off your drugs. I wanna be the man to love you till you're in a pause. Love you for a reason and for a cause. Not for competition, not for applause. Girl, pause before you take off your drawers. Once you make this step, there'll be no reverse. It's time you say bye-bye to regret and remorse. I'm gonna love you till the end, girl, for better and for worse.
Girl, friend,
I wanna be your man.
Sick and tired of playing the rogue boyfriend and the man.
Cause you think I cannot spend?
Between the needle, you become chasing me again.
Girl, friend,
I wanna be your man.
Sick and tired of playing the rogue boyfriend and the man.
Cause you think I cannot spend?
Between the needle, you become chasing me again.
Everybody know my
son, you
know
the
word. Girlfriend,
I'm sick and tired of playing the rogue boyfriend and the man.
Cause you think I cannot spend?
Between the needle of love, you come chasing me again.
Girlfriend,
I wanna be your man.
I'm sick and tired of playing the rogue boyfriend and the man.
Cause you think I cannot spend?
Between the needle of love, you come chasing me again.
Anytime they tell you, settle down, you face in front. That in the pen, you get up and run. Chase every man up and down the corner. Girl, I think it's kind of like a certain gun.
Girlfriend,
girlfriend,
I wanna be your man.
I wanna be your man.
I wanna be your man.
Girlfriend,
girlfriend,
I wanna be your man.
I wanna be your man.
I wanna be your man.
Yeah, go Africa. Yeah, go my Africa.
Africa, Cine featuring Fireman of Rwanda, and right before that, I Wanna Be Your Man, Marcelino from Sierra Leone, and Nigeria's Tosin, and I Will Be There For You. You are listening to your favorite music show, The African Beat on the Voice of America. I am David Vandy. I'll be right back with more music.
African Beats.
Africa. Africa.
Voice of America.
Yes, indeed. The African Beat on the Voice of America. Now, let me take you to Uganda with Radio and Weasel in Obude. And right after that, No More Kwayo, I Love This Beat, by this great man from Ghana, Asem. But let's go to the top right now with Obude by Radio and Weasel of Uganda.
Planning and plotting the gaysers. Ever since we moved in, they wanna vacate us. That's when your mentor near your evicted. They thought I wouldn't last, so many can you predict it? Then I drop run away, then I drop ringtone. Then most I run away, yes, he say I be king. Charlie, I be too smart for your shallow thinking. You know you was silly, I with doubts, my eyes blinking. I'm shining with a silver lining. I don't just rap, there's a scheme to my rhyming. And the wait is over. No more weight on my shoulders. I'm about to. Africa's very on hold, very on hold. And they play better shows. No more Bayon. I'm pasty, I'm getting more dough. No more Bayon. If you be pretty girl, Charlie, give me blow. No more Bayon. This year, skinny girls need a new figure. No more Bayon. 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 Charlie, you need to risk it to get the biscuit. Me flow no but you with me, I'll pass up a biscuit. I feel you know me but chum some of your artistic meeting. My camano, this a lipstick. Munche, bear me be a oye muff muff. Chale little skinny dude, just wanna act up. Tiny bestie, I pull my load off. I get that the beef flex, chale you be locust. But the other squad, they don't deserve to be mentioned. Puss in boots, craving for attention. Cry babies waiting for detention. Crusading to attend my convention. The wait is over. No more weight on my shoulder. I'm about to. Africa's very on hold. Very on hold. And they play better shows. No more Bayon. I'm pacey, I'm getting more dough. No more Bayon. If you be pretty girl, Charlie, give me blow. No more Bayon. This year, skinny girls need a new figure. A bestseller, critics rate me, they say I'll be bestseller. The more you they hate me, they give me energy. They all can't wait to recite my elegy. The wait is over, no more weight on my shoulder. I'm about to. Africa's very on hold, very on hold. And they play better shows. No more Bayon. I'm pacey, I'm getting more dough.
No More Payo by Asem of Ghana, and at the top was Obude by Radio and Weasel of Uganda. This is the African Beat on the Voice of America, and I am yours truly, David Vander, here in Washington. Don't go away, don't touch that dial.
The African Beat, with music of Africa, from the Voice of America. We love it.
To love you, baby. Yeah, M.I.C.
Oh, yes, I did.
Understand soon, begin familiarizer. TTA, me, I like your tantalizer. MS, my name and bracket today. You don't tell the I, you, you, I, me. You don't tell what do you, I want to do you like a queen. Take a trip for nobody. And I'm so lonely. No, no, no.
dance all night, and she know the time. I'm okay, because come dance by my side, yeah. Of all the girls I know, you hot like fire.
This is Emerson, the last man standing from Freetown, Sierra Leone, on the African Beat with David Vandy, Voice of America.
The African Beat on the Voice of America, broadcasting from Washington, D.C., and we come to you Mondays through Fridays on your dial. Let's get back to some music right now. Knock out the sound of Johnny Clark from Liberia. It's what's coming up next. And right after that, Bado by Hashalu Hondesha of Ethiopia. And taking your minds back a little bit to this old but beautiful music by Salif Keita of Mali, Tekere. But right now, Knock You Out. And let's get some Knockout by Johnny Clark of Liberia.
Baby, you knock me out.
Johnny.